It's time to separate fact from fiction and health fads. It's time for the Dr. Holly Lucille Show. Here's Dr. Holly.
Hi, folks. Thanks so much for joining us. This is Dr. Holly Lucille, Mindful Medicine, here on Radio MD. And I have a returning guest because her information is so compelling and lovely, and it's just, I know what my listeners I've heard want. Rebecca Scritchfield, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about, and I love this because I think it is a confusing subject for the most part, and it's also a very provocative subject, the confusing one being genetics, how much genetics play in what we have. You know, I have a lot of patients who come in like, well, you know, it runs in the family.
Yeah.
And I have various answers and discussion points on that, but also I think the provocative one is losing weight. So is genetics to blame for your inability to lose weight? But before we get started with this, will you just tell the listeners a little bit about your background, because you come with so much wonderful information?
Yeah, absolutely. So I feel like my training and what I do started when I started my first diet, which was before I was even in the double digits. If that tells you something, you know, I mean, I noticed, you know, my thighs and compared them to my friends and thought, oh, maybe I should be working on weight loss. I've had a lot of actually personal experience with struggling with, you know, accepting my body and body image.
Sure.
And I wasted a lot of time really, you know, on doing diets and this and that, which eventually led me to a career where I actually wanted to focus on health and nutrition and fitness. So I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist, and I'm a health and fitness specialist. So I can do personal training or group fitness. And that's with the American College of Sports Medicine. So I really did back up professional chops with personal experience. And really what I want to focus on is helping people, specifically women, live a more healthful, happy, and empowered life through habit.
Love it. I love it. So tell me, what does genetics, if anything, have to do with this process?
Well, you know, that there is a part of our shape and weight that is out of our control. You know, it's not like we can all walk into the height factory and get taller, you know.
Yeah.
And while we can accept that, we have a more difficult time accepting that we really can't control our weight. You know, if we could, wouldn't we all just pick a number and be it?
That's such a great point, because that is such a great point, because people have really strong, clear desires, and they do sometimes focus on that magic number.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, it's really not a negative thing, this fact of giving up control of the weight. And I'll tell my clients, you can't control it, and I can't control it. And I think what people are misled on is that there's some sort of expert that's going to be their savior, and so they keep spending billions of dollars looking for answers, and really the answers lie within. There's actually a positive motivation here, and that you can control your habits. And it's about taking the time, what little time you have, and implementing those habits that work for you. You may not be the marathoner. You may not be the person who gets into sports, but you can move your body. And we saw a recent study come out that showed that actually focusing on daily movement and walking, even if you don't focus on weight loss, improves your health, improves your longevity, keeps you on this planet with a higher quality of life. You don't have to focus on weight loss as the goal. Let it be the side effect of your habit.
Right. I love it. So yes. So you go to about empowering people by letting them focus on their habits, not the appearance so much. And certainly, I mean, I know like my older sister, I got more of my mom's legs. She got more of my dad's legs. They're big, stocky. She never liked her thighs. And I feel like to this day in her fifth decade, she continues to really, you know, just kind of be a saboteur about it in a way. You know, it's been something that has bothered her so much. And I think this is such a great point that if we can work on accepting ourselves and focus on our habits, because you know what? Guilt and shame, right? I think we get into this cycle of if we're not liking ourselves, or we've got problems with parts of our body, and then we start to engage in poor behavior that kind of numbs us out, and then we get into guilt and shame about that. And guess how we get out of feeling those feelings? We go back into those behaviors like overeating or drinking or what have you. People, you know, we're full of them. We're, you know, and then I think it's about breaking this cycle and right. focusing on those habits. And habits are, they're strong. And so why don't we make them good ones, right?
Exactly, exactly. We need to get out of our own way and realize that when that vicious cycle is happening, that when, you know, we tell ourselves, oh, screw it, we're about to make the choice that's not the self-care choice. We're about to go for extra food. We're about to skip that workout. We're about to pour that extra drink. And when reality, maybe what's going on is that you're having some difficulty processing your feelings, and that's okay. We all do. Negative sure. feelings are really there to tell you that something's wrong and need your attention. But food and sabotaging yourself with workouts and over drinking, they don't solve problems. And so if we can realize that we're getting in our own ways when we sabotage our good intentions and our healthy habits, and that really what we do on a day-to-day basis has an impact, even a 5 or 10 minute workout makes a difference, we can be a little bit more compassionate with ourselves, realistic that we are human and we do make mistakes. But, you know, we can watch that voice that just says, oh, screw it. And to your point about guilt and shame, you know, if guilt and shame were good motivators, we'd all be walking around a skinny, you know, because we have plenty of that. Just the guilt and shame is part of that vicious cycle, you know.
Yeah. And I think, you know, unfortunately, it's those things that lead sort of like the moth to the flame. You know, it's like it's just not a great idea. And if we can break those habits, and habits, I mean, smoking, it's a tough habit to break. A lot of our habits that are luring us into this comfortably numb state are difficult. But I think it's the old, you know, sometimes not even one day at a time, 1 hour at a time. And really that self-care and making those habits count and focusing on them being good on a daily basis. Those are the things that you string together, right? And that's how you get closer to your desires.
Absolutely. I think it's about having a realistic goal in the first place. And that's why I discourage weight loss as a goal, because scientifically we see that people who are restrained and restrictive eaters, they may lose weight, but they regain it, and then it gets even more difficult to lose weight. So if we take off weight loss as a goal, and instead I encourage clients to think about goals that are in line with life values. What kind of kids do you hope you will become as adults? You know, what would you tell your best friend as goals? What do you value out of life and is important to you? And then that can help set you up for framing more of the day-to-day goals. And there's nothing wrong with having a habit that bothers you. There's nothing wrong with wanting to change. And even if you lose weight in the process, there's nothing wrong with that. What I am arguing is, you know, let go of the, you know, I'll be happier when I'm thinner. That is going to distract you. And instead, think about what would you recommend to a best friend for your kids? What choices are in service of your life values? Accept that you're human and it may be very difficult to make changes, but you got to start somewhere. So what can you do today? What is 1 minute that you can do that's something different that you haven't done before? That's proving to yourself that change is possible. And just don't give up on yourself, because we really see the long-term changes after years and years and years of believing in ourselves.
Well, I love it, Rebecca, so much, because it's true. The weight loss, quote unquote, industry is a $1 billion a year, a day at times business. And we still have obesity and a lot of difficult health issues as a result of it being one of our most chronic health issues and continuing to be on the rise, by the way, in America. And so I love what you're saying, to not give up. You know, every day you just don't give up. You know, I have a hashtag, keep on becoming, because it is, you know, that lovely Bruce Springsteen song, one step up, two steps back. You know, it's like sometimes that's the way it is, but just keep doing it. Just keep walking. Just keep empowering yourself and focus on stringing together those good habits. Rebecca, I'm so thrilled that we get to have you on Radio MD and on my show a little bit more. I love it. So thank you so much.
I'm happy to be here and have a great week.
All right, Rebecca, thank you so much. All right, folks, it is all about taking the focus off the weight loss and putting it on your good habits. Just 10 minutes a day. Just one thing that can change differently. You got it. You got this. We all got this. All right. Thanks so much for listening.